Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry bush, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat? Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, for us to understand Jesus' harshness in today's gospel reading, we look at it as if it is a life during wartime attitude that he's trying to instill in us. Bear with me on this. Because Jesus knows what his disciples then and now, us, need. If we're going to persevere sufficiently, if we're going to help him win the battle, so to speak. Let us take, for example, from American history, the Revolutionary War. Let us go back to 1777, when then General George Washington's army encamped at Valley Forge. After failing to take back Philadelphia, 12,000 troops, many of whom did not make it through that winter, had just fought their hearts out. And they would have liked nothing better than to take a nice, long rest and eat rich, hot, plentiful food in a nice, comfortable, warm place much farther south in Valley Forge, Philadelphia, that winter. And I'm sure General Washington would have liked nothing better than to have given them just that. But all they could offer them was stark quarters in the freezing cold with vastly insufficient supplies. While they protected the Pennsylvania countryside and tried to retrain and reorganize their units. But any other course of action quite probably would have resulted in the defeat of the Continental Army and the death of the American experiment. I'm sure General Washington wanted to reward his men instead of ask them to make more and greater sacrifices. His appreciation is well documented in his own words, for he wrote after the war was won, quote, "To see men without clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lay on, without shoes by which their marches might be traced by the blood from their feet, and almost as often without provisions as with, marching through frost and snow, and at Christmas, taking up their winter quarters within a day's march of the enemy, without a house or hut to cover them till they could be built, and submitting to it without a murmur is a mark of patience and obedience, which, in my opinion, can scarce be paralleled. So Washington took it all in, but he knew that he could not mollycoddle his troops. They had to spur them on. Now, getting to us in our modern day and age, after we've worked very hard for Jesus and his people, I'm sure that Jesus would like nothing more than to wait on us, feed us, and tell us what a great job we're doing. That time will come permanently when this battle of earthly life is over and we recline at the table in heavenly banquet. But now there is more work for us to do, more battles to be fought, and we must have the attitude, that wartime attitude of the soldier who keeps on answering the call to duty. Jesus defines that attitude perfectly with the words, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do. We have done our duty." How many examples can we all remember of people? Our parents, your spouses, other family members and friends who have made sacrifices, at times heroic sacrifices, for their families, their country, if you know a veteran, community, parish, and for us. Each one of us, I'm sure, can think of plenty of examples. And how many times have each of you, made similar sacrifices because we were answering the call to duty? What I'm about to share, I don't share to put the spotlight on me or for anyone to give me that pat on the back and say, "Oh, you're doing a great job, Father." This is really insignificant compared to so many other sacrifices, compared to Valley Forge. But the battle that we've been fighting over the past few years is the battle with the coronavirus, among many. I think about, in the heart of that, during a cold winter of 2021, frequent calls came from Harrington Hospital and from Southbridge Rehab to go and anoint COVID patients. That is my vocation. That is my call. That is my duty. And I'm happy to do it. But I remember one day, a very cold day, a day that was supposed to be my day off, just as I was about to leave the house to meet a friend for dinner, the call came from Harrington Hospital. "Father, we have a patient dying in the COVID unit. Can you come up?" Certainly, changed into my clerical garb, went up there, got all suited up the way one needs to anoint a COVID patient, masked up, gowned up, went in, said the prayers, went back. You have to take a shower as part of the protocol. Texted my friend, "I'm running a little late, I'll be there at such and such time." Inches from a clean getaway, and this time Southbridge Rehab calls. "Father, we have a COVID patient who's dying. Can you come up?" And the process started all over again. Really insignificant sacrifice compared to what we can think of. And I said, I don't bring it up because I want anyone to say, "Oh, Father, what a soldier you are." Just an example from my life, and I want you to think of examples from your life. When you did things and you offered them up, and you did it with humility, not expecting any reward or pat on the back, knowing that you had to keep going. This is the attitude that Jesus wants us to foster. We are unprofitable servants. We have done no more than our duty. Because I believe that Jesus does, in fact, give us rest and refreshment when he knows we need it. You know, we have these things today called life coaches. Well, Jesus is the ultimate life coach. He knows when we need that pat on the back. He knows when you need to be spurred on. We got to just trust that he knows it and he'll do the best for us to keep us persevering in the faith and in our duty. Because the same Jesus who told us today in the gospel that we're unprofitable servants also said in Matthew's gospel, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." He wants us to come to him humbly, without demanding anything, and trust that he will give us what we need when we need it. And sometimes that is an oasis of refreshment in the middle of the battle. Even soldiers who have fought wars have gotten to come home on leave. But no matter what happens, Jesus will give us the grace. And sometimes that grace, that refreshment comes with no leave, no seeming rest for the weary. He gives it to us while we're running the marathon and running up Heartbreak Hill, as he did the troops at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, in that long, cold winter of 1777. Last thing I want to talk about is the problem of discouragement. Because if you've followed me and agreed to everything we've discussed here so far, there's another hurdle to get over. For we can be trusting in Jesus and persevering humbly in his service, but discouraged by the lack of results or even seeming defeat. Here the first and second readings encourage us to remember that while we continue to fight the battles, Jesus has already won the war. We have but to look at the cross and remember what lies beyond the seeming defeat of Good Friday. The certainty of the victory of the resurrection in the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. For in the second reading, Paul tells Timothy, "Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." And I add this, "because it will not be in vain." And finally, from the first reading, the prophet Habakkuk, who is prophesying around the beginning of the 7th century B.C., when the Babylonians have completely destroyed Jerusalem and the Israelites who have survived have been taken into exile in Babylonia. At this precise moment, God tries to lift them out of their despair and promises restoration with these words, which we'll end with. The vision, and he delivered. 70 years later, they came back from exile. Habakkuk, the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The Lord kept his promise to the Israelites. He always does. And he will do to us the same. God love you.